I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist. Welcome to Module 7.
Welcome to the module that's going to teach you about astral creation. In this module, we're going to talk about you taking charge of your astral environment. I want you to think of this as being very similar to moving into a new place. When you move into a new place, a home or an office or an apartment or anywhere else, naturally you want to furnish it with objects which relate to you so that you feel comfortable there. You want to have things positioned in a certain way. You want to take control of the colors and basic things that just give you a sense of being at home and being in a peaceful place. Well, I want you to know that you can do the same thing in astral projection. So far, we've talked about you exploring the astral worlds and being a visitor there, seeing what's already there, taking part in it, but not really making any changes. We have talked about shape-shifting, changing your own body, and we talked about shape-shifting into the representation of your past life self. But we have not talked about the idea of changing your environment and making changes in yourself, in your astral body, that will be ongoing. So this module is designed to teach you about that. I want you to realize that you have a tremendous amount of leeway when it comes to astral creation. Just as you can take a lump of dough and mold it into pretty much any shape you want, or a lump of clay and alter it into any shape you want, you can do the same thing in the astral world. Now, I want you to understand that astral creation is not a matter of making something out of nothing. It's just a matter of reshaping and reforming objects which already exist using astral matter, using the particles that make up the astral world. So you're not creating something out of nothing. You're just rearranging particles, which is exactly what we do when we create things in the three-dimensional world. If I want to create a sculpture, for example, I can get a piece of marble and I can chip away at it until I have the sculpture I want. That doesn't mean that I created something out of nothing. In fact, by the process of elimination, getting rid of what I don't want on that statue, I'm left with the statue itself. So in that case, I've actually removed a good deal of matter in order to create the statue. So that's the type of creation I'm talking about, rearranging particles, sometimes removing particles from something. And I'm talking about doing that in the astral world. Right now, if you're in your astral body, or sometime in the near future when you're in your astral body, or if you want to just imagine this as practice for when you are in your astral body or when you are able to astral project, I want you to just sit in the astral world, which means hovering somewhere. That can be in your room or anywhere you want, but I want you to just be and just look around. I'm going to introduce you to a concept, which is that of gathering astral particles. There's an important distinction here. In the physical world, when you create something from a lump of clay, for example, you get the clay, usually by purchasing it, you put it on a table, and you begin to mold the clay. In the astral world, when you create, you're going to first have to create the clay. Now, this doesn't mean that you're creating something out of nothing, but what it does mean is that you're gathering astral particles together in order to form something that is malleable, that is clay-like, that you can mold. So realize that whatever you're going to create already exists in individual astral particles, so you're not creating something out of nothing. That's a distinction that I made earlier, that you're not creating something out of nothing. I want you to learn now that you're going to have to assemble the particles. Unlike in the physical world where the particles are prepackaged and already assembled in a lump of clay, you're going to have to assemble the astral particles in the astral world. And the way you do that is by using your thoughts. So we'll get to that in a moment, but right now I want to make another important distinction, which is that you are not manipulating the astral matter that already exists. There are a number of astral structures, buildings, and so forth, that exist in the astral world. You are not going to alter their shape. In fact, that's considered to be disrespectful and destructive in the astral world. You're always to honor the structures that exist in the astral world and leave them just as they are. Remember, sometimes you can shapeshift and move into them. Sometimes they're solid and you should avoid moving into them because there's probably something inside that you are not meant to see, and that's okay. So now that we've got all the distinctions straight, let's take a look at how to create in the astral world. So find yourself in the astral world and focus on your thoughts right now. Focus on your thoughts. And I want you to think of an object, a very simple and small object, perhaps a baseball or a tennis ball, something that's very simple. Now, to give you a distinction between simple and complex, I would consider a book to be complex. A book has many pages. You open it up, you flip through the pages. I would consider that to be a complex object compared to a baseball or a tennis ball or a rock. So I want you to think of a simple object, something that doesn't require you to interact with it much, something you would generally just hold in your hand or just look at, an object that doesn't have any working parts, if you will, like a book does. You work the parts yourself, you open the book and you leaf through the pages. But something that doesn't even have anything like that. Something very simple, like a baseball, tennis ball, rock. And imagine this object now. And as you imagine this object in your mind while in your astral body, I want you to imagine this object 1 meter in front of you or 3 feet in front of you. Imagine it floating in the air, 3 feet or 1 meter in front of you. And as you imagine this, I want you to see in the astral world something that looks like a starburst around it, lines going out in every direction from the center of the object. But in this case, rather than those lines representing particles going out from the object, the lines actually represent particles being drawn to the object to create the object. Remember, you're not creating something out of nothing. You're simply assembling the particles of the astral world to make that object. So I want you to see the particles moving toward that object. So it will sort of resemble rays of the sun going outward, except you realize that particles are actually moving toward the center of the object. And as they move quickly toward the center of the object, they build the object. They build it more and more quickly now until the object is almost complete. And now if you haven't already completed making the object, it now becomes complete. Creating in the astral world is that straightforward. It's that easy to do. Now, several things could have happened during this process. Number one, it's possible that your object was not actually created. It's possible that you had some difficulty along the way. If that's the case, I want you to practice this technique. I want you to go over it later on at your leisure, as slowly as you need to, and create the object. The second thing that could have happened is the object didn't end up the way you intended it to end up. Perhaps you were attempting to create something that looked like a baseball, but it looked like an orange instead, or a golf ball, or something completely different than that. That's okay. At least you are creating in the astral world. The other situation that could have happened is that you created something, but it didn't complete. By the time I said complete the object, it didn't complete. And that's fine. Realize that in this module, we have certain time constraints. So I'm teaching you a template for creating the object. You can take this knowledge, and at your leisure later on, you can do it as slowly as you need to. When I first started creating astral objects, it did take me quite some time. My first object took about an hour to create. It almost seemed as if I was building it particle by particle. Realize that with your astral vision, you can actually zoom in, if you will, on the individual particles, but that's not necessary. In fact, I recommend not doing that, because focusing on the individual tiny particles that make up the astral world can get you so focused on the microcosm of the astral world that it slows you down from creating the big picture, which in this case is something that looks like a baseball or a tennis ball or something similar. If we get so caught up in the details, sometimes we lose sight of the big picture. That's true in our everyday life, and that's true in the astral world as well. So when creating, I feel that it's in your best interest to zoom out, to look at the object as you would generally see an object, and not to zoom in on the individual particles, even though you can. As you get better and better at this, you may want to zoom in more often, because that can be interesting, to see particle after particle being put together to form this object. But let's move forward now. You can practice that later if you need to. I want to talk to you about the object that you have created or soon will create. What is it? Does it exist? Will it continue to exist? Yes, the object does exist and will continue to exist, and it is exactly what you have made it to be. Realize that sometimes in the astral world, we can create something that looks like an orange, but is not really like an orange if we open it up. Just as in the three-dimensional world, we can create a clay representation of an orange, and we can even paint it to look like an orange, and we can put it in a kiln and harden it, but if someone were to actually pick it up, they would realize that it's too hard to be an orange, and if they were to open it up, they would realize it's just made out of clay. We have a similar situation in the astral world. It is what you created it to be. If it's just a group of particles put together, millions and millions of particles put together to look like an orange, for example, but it doesn't have the insides of an orange internally, it doesn't have seeds and juice and so forth, then it's not really an orange. It's just something that looks like it. So that's the sense in which you have created. You've created something that looks like that. Now, we can take this a step further. If you have detailed information about the way something actually is, then you can assemble astral particles on a minute scale to make it exactly the way it would be in the astral world. Realize that astral anatomy is quite a bit different from physical anatomy. In other words, if you look at your astral body, you'll realize that you do not have blood coursing through veins. You have energy flowing through your astral body. And by the way, astral creation is not designed to teach you to create anything organic. My feeling is that you should stay away from that completely. Creating organic astral matter is beyond the realm of what you should be focused on. Attempting to create beings in the astral world is something that I feel should not be done. That should be left to higher powers. And what you're going to find is that it's not quite as straightforward as that anyway. Let's say, for example, that you were to attempt to create an astral dog by assembling the particles of the astral world. You can create something that looks like a dog, but is more like a stuffed animal version of a dog. And you may ask, why, if you know the astral anatomy of an astral dog, why are you not creating an actual astral dog? The reason is that it's not as simple as that. We know in the three-dimensional world the anatomy of a three-dimensional dog. We know it has a liver, a spleen, a heart, a backbone, a skull, skin, fur, etc. However, knowing all of that is not good enough. Scientists are still unable to assemble from the particles of the three-dimensional world a living, breathing dog. At some point in the future, science may find a way to do that. However, there will still be one important obstacle to overcome, and that is the soul of the dog, the astral body of the dog. And yes, animals do have astral bodies. And that brings us full circle back to our initial conversation, which is the idea of creating an astral body. If you think about it, what you're talking about is creating a soul. That is beyond the realm of creation that you should be interested in. That is the realm of creation left to God. The only realm of creation that you should concern yourself with is that which is similar to using clay, just assembling particles that already exist to make a non-organic object. So, in the physical world, it's easy to see. We can create a stuffed animal, and we can actually mass-produce it at a factory, but we are not creating an actual dog. In the astral world, what does non-organic mean? That's an interesting question. In the physical world, it's easy to see a stuffed animal versus a real animal. The real dog is organic, the stuffed dog is not. The stuffed dog is inorganic. But what would be a similar idea in the astral world? What is organic and what is inorganic in terms of astral matter? Well, inorganic would be the orange. It looks like an orange, but it's really not. If there were such thing as an astral orange, this would not be it. This is just an assimilation of astral particles to look like an orange. Realize that astral oranges don't actually exist. But what if we were to take that a step further and become interested in creating the soul of a dog? Well, first of all, this is something that I don't want you to do because this is left for higher powers. But in order to do it, we would need to create the actual soul, which is more than just an assimilation of astral particles. A soul is a being that has lived before and will continue to live. It is an eternal being. You are not creating eternal beings by simply rearranging the particles of the astral world. You are creating the astral equivalent to inorganic matter. meaning this matter will not be animated in any way. It will not be able to think for itself or move by itself or anything along those lines. It will be inorganic matter, able to move only if propelled. Even our most advanced attempts at creating beings which think for themselves and move for themselves are nothing more than us creating inorganic objects. And I'm talking about the three-dimensional world. I've seen, for example, robots in the three-dimensional world which look like humans, yet they are not. They do not think, they are not organic. So the best you can hope to create in the astral world would be something similar to a robot, and that's okay. So now you understand some very important distinctions between creating a soul, which is not what you're going to do, and creating an inanimate, astrally inorganic object, which you are able to do very easily. So now that you know how to create in the astral world, and you know what to create and what not to attempt to create, let's talk about using your powers productively. Isn't it nice, as I said before, when you go into a place and it represents you? It has the colors and the objects which represent you and your personality. In your home, you want to have each room represent a part of you. And in your office, you bring a small part of that that reminds you of home. In the astral world, realize that it's not like an office that you're visiting. It's actually where you live. It's where your soul lives. It's where your soul has always lived. So the changes you make, decorating, if you will, these changes are not temporary, nor should these changes be on a minor scale, such as in an office. These changes should be on a large scale and should be intended to be permanent. Astral creation allows you to rearrange your astral world and to create in your astral world until you feel comfortable. When I first started astral projection in the early 80s, I was amazed by how cold the whole process felt. When I got out of my astral body, I was in a dark world, which was essentially alien to me because I didn't have any conscious memories of visiting it. And I felt as if I was visiting a place that was foreign to me, as if I didn't live there, as if I almost didn't belong there. And eventually, over time, I became accustomed to the idea of astral projection, but for many years, it remained that way. It seemed like a place, every time I astral projected, that I didn't really belong and I didn't live there. I was just visiting there. Until I realized the concept of astral creation, the idea of assembling the particles of the astral world to create things that made me feel at home, that made me feel as if I wasn't visiting a foreign place, a cold, dark place. Well, the lighting situation cleared up first. Once I realized astral vision allowed me to zoom in with precision and clarity on any object in the astral world, just as I could zoom in on any object in the physical world. So once I realized that, which you already know, lighting became a non-issue, because I realized I was only bringing with me the psychological concept of day and night. And in the astral world, although I could see the effects of the sun and the earth blocking the sun at night, I wasn't subject to those laws of physics in the astral world. In other words, nighttime didn't have to be dark, and daytime didn't have to be as bright as it was. I could adjust the brightness by my thoughts, by focusing on being able to see more clearly, or by dulling things if they seemed too bright, by pulling back my astral vision. But then I began to realize the concept of astral creation, which I've already shared with you. But it was only over time that I realized the full power that I had in the astral world, the ability to recreate my environment. So I want to share with you what I did, and I hope that it gives you ideas for what you can do. Think of the following tips as decorating ideas, if you will. You're decorating your astral world. You're sprucing it up. You're making it more like you want it to be. Remember that anytime you create or do anything else in the astral world, it should benefit you and others. It should never be for selfish gain. It should never be to get an unfair advantage over anyone. It should never be to do something that you're really not supposed to do. It should always be for your own good and the greater good. You have a conscience, so you know what I'm talking about. Keep that in mind. If you think you're doing things without others noticing, you're wrong. Others do notice. In fact, once you start visiting the astral world more and more, you realize just how open everything you do is. All of your actions in the universe, even in your three-dimensional world, are being broadcast to the entire universe all the time. You realize that privacy doesn't exactly exist in the astral world. This gets us into the realm of karma. We think that sometimes we do our inappropriate deeds in private, but really they're being broadcast to the entire universe all the time. This is actually a positive concept because it allows us to hold ourselves accountable for what we do and to realize that our actions should be 100% focused on the good of everyone. So let's talk about privacy first of all. You have been living your life thinking that you're living a private life, thinking that when you go home, you're inside and no one can see you, thinking that when you go in your room, you're inside and no one can see you. And then you get into the world of astral projection and you realize that the walls of your house don't actually exist, the walls of your bedroom don't actually exist, nor does your floor, nor your ceiling. In fact, you are completely exposed at all times. There is theoretically no place in this universe where you can go and live a private life. This was the first area of concern for me when working on astral creation, privacy. How do you bridge the gap between entities being able to see everything that you do and having the privacy that you would like in your life? Well, that's very easily done, and it's done by creating astral walls and an astral house. There are, as I've said, astral structures in this universe. They already exist, and they're not to be tampered with. But you, by assimilating the particles of the astral world, can create an astral house similar to your house, so that the ceiling that you think exists will actually exist, the floor that you think exists will actually exist, and so forth. Of course, the important concept here is to leave yourself a way in and out of the house. So, now that you realize how exposed you are, let's talk about creating a structure that is going to give you the privacy that you've thought you had all along. The best way to do this is to simply create a house or an apartment or wherever you live that is similar to the existing three-dimensional structure. This eliminates the burden of you needing to learn how to build a house if you don't already know, and you deciding how it's going to look. If you live in a structure, my understanding is that you want to be in that structure. If you don't want to be in that structure, then you can create an astral structure that is similar to the one that you want to be in. But it's always easier to navigate astrally through a four-dimensional structure that exactly coincides with a three-dimensional structure. So realize that your house or your apartment does not actually exist in the astral world. It's only an assimilation of three-dimensional particles, wood, plaster, metal, and so forth. So the first thing that I did when I realized all of this, and the first thing that I want you to do, is to create an astral structure identical to the physical structure. And the way you do this is by using your thoughts. You remember creating a small, simple object using your thoughts. Well, creating complex objects, such as a house, would generally require a lot of patience and potentially a lot of time. Even though time doesn't exist in the astral world, the physical time that would have elapsed would have potentially been great if you had attempted to create a house from scratch. Imagine having to imagine the plumbing, the flooring, every little space in the house, every particle, and so forth. It could take a long time to do. However, there's a shortcut, and that is to focus on your house. In your astral body, in your house, just focus on your house. Even if you built your house, you are not intimately aware of every particle of wood, for example, in the house, of every particle of metal, of every particle of plaster, etc. But what you are aware of is the way the house appears, and that is good enough for the astral world. In the astral world, you are not attempting to create a house that will function in the same way your house will. In other words, you're not concerned with working showers and working faucets, a working electrical system with switches that go on and off. You're not interested in creating all of those details. What you are interested in creating is a structure that's going to make you feel at home, and a structure that's going to give you some privacy. So this astral structure will not resemble particle by particle the working structure that you live in the three-dimensional world. What it will resemble is the way that it looks and feels to you. It will be sort of a clay representation of your three-dimensional house. The electrical system will not work because it will not exist. The plumbing will not work because it will not exist. In fact, we do not have astral electricity or astral water. But what it will do is provide a safe, comfortable, relaxing place so that when you are in your astral body, you will still feel right at home until, of course, you leave your home. But you can also create other places away from home, vacation homes in the astral world that you can go to, safe, relaxing places that feel like home away from home. So let's talk about how to do this. In your astral body, just focus on your home. Focus on where you live, the structure. If you don't like the way your home looks, you can focus on the ideal structure that you would like to live in. And as you continue focusing, imagine that starburst again, a reverse starburst, where all the particles are moving toward the house and assembling it. And if you need to do this later, or if you want to add more detail later, you can do this later. But for right now, just continue focusing on that starburst, assembling the structure quickly and easily. If there are wood beams within the house, those are unimportant. You're only assembling particles in a way that represents the house, in a way that looks like the house, in a way that gives you the feel of the house. So continue assembling the house, moving all the particles together, forming them, thinking about the rooms in your house. And again, if you want to do this later in great detail, you can. Thinking about the roof of the house or the apartment or wherever you live. Think about the structure that's overhead. Think about what's underneath, what separates the structure that you live in from the ground below. Think about the walls. And it's important in your astral house to leave an opening or a way to get out, a door, a window, etc. I prefer to leave a door open and realize that you can close this door just by using your thoughts. So I leave a door to my bedroom and I leave a door to the outside world. An interesting thing that I also do is I leave a way to get out through the roof, a tunnel. Many times when I astral project, I prefer to just rise upward. Well, if I've created an astral structure around myself, realize that this astral structure is solid to my astral body. So I can actually prevent myself from rising upward if I've created a solid astral roof. Remember, astral structures are solid to your astral body. So if I want to continue rising upward to leave my body, I need to leave a tunnel through the roof, through the ceiling of my room that goes all the way out through the roof of the house. And I can have this sealed generally. There can be a door at the end that is closed. And when I leave through my astral body, I can open the door. So continue creating your home as I talk. Realize that you can always revisit this later and create it in more detail. But as you do this, I want you to focus on colors, on shapes, etc. I want you to make it look like you want it to look. And remember, sometimes it's possible that your house, your home, doesn't look like you want it to in the three-dimensional world. Well, in the astral world, you have the ability to make it look like you want it to, decorate it as lavishly as you want. Or if you want to keep it simple, that's fine as well. Sometimes people's astral homes are much simpler than their three-dimensional homes, and vice versa. It's all up to you. Sometimes astral creation can give you ideas for three-dimensional creation. Maybe there's something you create in the astral world in your astral home that you would like to have in your three-dimensional home, and you can do that as well. Of course, that's generally done by going to a store and purchasing the object, or by building it out of three-dimensional objects. In the astral world, it's just a matter of thinking about it and assembling the astral particles. What you're going to notice after you complete your astral house is that there are other astral houses. And I want you to notice as you explore the astral world from now on that there are two types of structures. There are the structures that seem to be ancient. They seem to look almost like temples. They resemble large structures carved out of stone with intricate designs on the sides of them. Those are the astral structures that have been around for a long time. Then there are the newer structures, homes such as the one you have just created, which have a modern look to them. And then there are the three-dimensional objects, the three-dimensional houses and buildings that you can see in the fourth dimension, which do not actually exist in the fourth dimension. They're only shadows from the three-dimensional world that we see in the fourth dimension, and they appear to be ghost-like images. There is, for example, a ghost-like image of the homes in your neighborhood in the fourth dimension. You will see them in the fourth dimension, but you realize they don't exist in the fourth dimension. They are merely objects you are seeing that exist in the third dimension. So we have three types of structures. Those that exist in the fourth dimension that have been around for a long time. Those that exist in the fourth dimension that have been recently created, such as the structure that you have just created. And those structures that we see from the fourth dimension, but really exist in the third dimension. The houses you see in your everyday life. The other buildings.
mountains, etc. But now that you know how to create objects in the astral world, let's focus on you and recreating you in the astral world. And as we focus on you, it's important to realize that you have an astral body which is identical to your physical body, except it's the naked version of your physical body. And some people initially, when they travel in the astral world, have concerns about traveling naked because you're not taking your physical clothes with you into the astral world. But it's okay. Many people in the astral world travel naked. It's in fact not considered naked. It's considered traveling in your astral body, traveling with your soul. But you begin to realize, as we get into astral creation, just how exposed you have been. You've been living in a house that's open to the entire universe, and you've been living in a body, an astral body, that's naked. When I first started realizing all of these situations in the early 80s, I became interested in taking more direct charge of this. First of all, creating an astral home to insulate myself and give myself privacy. And secondly, using shape-shifting to recreate my astral body and to clothe it. Now, we've already talked about this concept somewhat. I've talked about shape-shifting in order to move through four-dimensional objects when there is an opening, moving your astral body so that it is horizontal, and then stretching it out as long as you need to in order to move through a rather small hole in the astral world, in an astral structure. But let's take that idea and apply it to recreating your astral body. And another concept we're going to use is the concept that you learned in past life regression, where your astral body took on the features, including the clothing, perhaps. Not everyone's astral body takes on the clothing. But in most cases, when people do a past life regression with their astral body does take on the clothing of the past life as well. The shoes, pants, or the dress, a hat, anything that the body would have worn. So between these two concepts, the concepts of changing the shape of your astral body and the idea of putting clothes on it, you can actually recreate your astral body. Now realize that we are dealing with appearances again. An astral robe is not necessary. It's not as if it's going to protect you from being cold in the astral world, because in the astral world, you will not actually get cold. You may feel the psychological sensation of coldness, as I often have, but you will not have to worry about your astral temperature dropping, for example, because you don't have an astral temperature. Temperature is something that exists in the three-dimensional world. But the purpose of astral creation, when we recreate ourselves, is the appearance that we want to have. Think of it as a video game. In certain video games, your character, your icon that represents you, can take on a physical appearance. It can appear to have clothes. It can appear to look a certain way. It can appear larger or smaller than you do in your everyday life, in your three-dimensional life. The video representation of yourself can be almost anything you want it to be. Well, in the astral world, we have the same amount of leverage, except that we do have certain limitations. You are limited to the amount of astral particles that you already have in your astral body, which is, of course, your soul. You can rearrange the appearance of your astral body, but I encourage you not to add to it. In other words, you could, through what you know of astral creation, create an astral coat, and you could put that astral coat on. But I want to tell you that that's completely unnecessary, because you can shape-shift your astral body to appear as though you have a coat on, so you don't have to have the added burden of carrying astral particles with you. Your astral body can shape-shift into the appearance of wearing anything you want, or into the appearance of looking like anything you want it to look like. For example, you can look like a dog, or a cat, or a man wearing a suit, or a woman wearing a dress, or an inanimate object, such as a chair. You can shapeshift into anything you want. But I encourage you to avoid constant shapeshifting. As you learn a little more about astral etiquette, which I've already shared with you, remember the concept of duplicating your astral body? And each time you do, you leave some residue in the astral world, which is considered littering. But if you just do it occasionally, it's considered to be okay. If you shapeshift in the astral world on a regular basis, other entities are going to find that a bit rude because you are disguising your true appearance. They never know if you're going to show up looking like a chair
or looking like a man or looking like a woman, or looking like any other number of objects, organic or inorganic, that you could look like. The standard way to shapeshift your appearance in the astral world, unless you have a special situation in which you're trying to move through an astral structure, which is very small, for example, the generally accepted way to shapeshift when you're changing the way you look in the astral world is to shapeshift into the idealized version of yourself. For example, if you feel that you are overweight in your three-dimensional body, your shapeshifted astral body can be the ideal version of you, thin, for example. Or if you want to be heavier, then your astral body can be shapeshifted into looking heavier. If you are exercising and you want to appear to be more muscular, the astral body can be shapeshifted to look more muscular. Also, it can be shapeshifted to appear that you are wearing certain clothing. Although in your everyday life, you probably wear different clothes every day, and you have certain favorite clothes, in the astral world, it's considered proper etiquette to always wear the same clothes. This helps entities identify you more easily, and also speaks to your honesty. People and entities who shapeshift on a regular basis and always appear in the astral world with different clothes are considered to be hiding something. That's the way the etiquette works in the astral world. Because there's no need to change astral clothing. It doesn't get dirty. It doesn't get wrinkled. It doesn't need to be changed. So generally speaking, people choose a shape that they like, an appearance that they like, which is very similar to their three-dimensional appearance, so as not to deceive people, and then they choose clothing that they like, and they stay with that image until they decide to change it. Generally, people change their image about once a year, but not every day or every minute. So, I encourage you to experiment a little, find a shape and some clothing that you like in the astral world, and to stick with that. And then, perhaps once a year, if you decide to change the way you look, you can do that, make a slight change. The idea is that you want people and entities in the astral world to be able to recognize you. You should resemble your three-dimensional appearance. And when you change your astral appearance, it should not be a drastic change that causes people and entities not to be able to recognize you. Of course, you have the ability to shapeshift at will anytime. I'm just sharing with you the general etiquette of the astral world. So let's work on that right now. I want you to imagine, or if you're in your astral body, actually do this now. I want you to either shapeshift now or imagine doing it or plan on doing it in the near future. And the way you do this is in your astral body, you concentrate on the particles of your astral body. Realize that these are astrally organic particles. These are not the same type of particles that you made your astral rock with or your astral tennis ball with or the appearance of an astral orange with. These are particles that are astrally organic. They are particles of your soul. I want you to rearrange them now into the idealized version of you wearing the clothes that you would like to wear. If you had to pick a set of clothes to wear every day, what would you wear? If you want to wear nothing, that's fine. And by the way, that's not considered to be rude in the astral world to continue astral traveling without clothes. It's considered to be okay. It's not looked down upon in any way. But imagine now looking the way you'd like to look, with or without clothes, the ideal body, and realize that the more you focus on this, the more your physical body will be able to take on that shape. I'm not talking about your physical body making drastic changes in height, but what I am talking about is that if you feel overweight in your physical body and you shapeshift your astral body into your ideal weight, your physical body will feel compelled to move toward that ideal weight. And the more often you astral project, the more program you become in your physical world to have your physical body look like your astral body. So what I'm saying is that this can be a wonderful weight loss plan. Your subconscious mind becomes imprinted with your ideal self, and your physical body begins to look for ways to make itself look like that by eating less, exercising more, etc. So continue now focusing on your ideal self with the clothing you'd like to wear or the lack of clothing and create this shape-shifted astral body, which you will maintain until you decide to change it at a later time. Realize it will stay persistent. So once you go back into your physical body, it will not change. It will not go out of shape. until you direct it to do so by repeating this exercise at some point in the future. So I encourage you over the next few days to experiment with this, to shapeshift into different shapes until you find one that you like, and then stay with it. But continuing now to focus on the ideal shape and appearance of your astral body. That's right. So as opposed to imagining the starburst where you're drawing particles to you, you are just working with the organic astral particles that you already have, just rearranging them into the appearance of whatever you want to look like. Okay. Very good. Now, if you need more time, you can, of course, revisit this exercise at your leisure in the future. I encourage you to do this soon. This is something that I want you to just create and have, just like your astral home. So rather than making this a project for the future, make it a project for the next few days. Creating your astral home out of astral particles and rearranging the organic astral particles of your astral body until you have shape-shifted them into the way you want to appear. Realize that you can change the size, the shape, the color, everything about the way your astral body appears, just as you can do with your astral home. So enjoy your new abilities, which are really just abilities that you're rediscovering. You've had all of these abilities your whole life. I'm just reacquainting you with the abilities that you've had all along, getting you to work certain muscles that perhaps you didn't even know existed. So continue creating astrally. Continue enjoying the process. And remember to create your vacation home or homes anywhere you want, anywhere in the universe, so that when you travel astrally, you can feel right at home. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have outstanding astral journeys.